This shiur will focus on the legal and philosophical aspects of Tisha B'Av and the period of the 3 weeks in light of Rav Soloveitchik's analysis, both, as I said, the halachic and philosophic. The Gemara quotes at the end of Maseches Tainis a famous braisa on Daf Lamed. The braisa says, Kol mitzvos ha-noagos be'evel noagos b'tisha b'av. The Braisa says that all mitzvahs that are relevant to an avel are relevant to Tisha B'Av. And also the Braisa here presents us with a kind of blanket equation between Tisha B'Av and avelos. The Braisa then continues and writes the following. Osur ba'achila, the din is that there's an isur to eat. Ubishtiyah, there's an isur to drink. Ubisicha, to anoint oneself. Ubinas hasando, and to don leather apparel, leather shoes. Ubitashmish hamita. And the Braisa continues and tells us, V'asa likros patara b'nevi'im b'ksuvim. One is not allowed to read the Torah, or to read Nevi'im, or to read Ksuvim. B'lishnos b'mishnah, and to learn Mishnah. B'talmud, or to study the Talmud, b'medrash, u'b'halachas u'b'agodos. So here we have an equation, the halachas that apply to an avel, the Braisa says also apply to Tisha B'Av. The Rishonim, the Rosh, and many other Rishonim point out, however, this equation is not a total absolute equation. Because the Gemara writes a little bit after, the Gemara says, at the end of Ta'anis, it says, Rabbi Yehuda mechayi b'kfiyas hamita. Rabbi Yehuda felt that there's an obligation to turn the bed over. One of the aspects of avelos, which we don't practice today, even though we have something which is parallel to it and perhaps founded upon it, is the notion that the Gemara calls kfiyas hamita, turning the bed over. The Gemara says in Mo'ikotin that turning the bed over is symbolic of the fact that Atzelem Elokim has been snuffed out. Mita, the bed representing procreation and the idea of producing a family, children, and since the Tzelem Elokim has been snuffed out, we turn the bed over. Taisis and Ma'ikotin and Mishonim point out we don't do that today for different reasons, but the Gemara says here at the end of Tainis, Rabbi Yehuda felt that this practice is also in vogue with reference to Tisha B'Av. And the Gemara says, the Chacham did not agree with him. They felt that even though this is one of the practices of Avelos, however, we cannot extend this practice to Tisha B'Av. Dein kofin kol ikar. The Chacham feel that there is no kfiyas hamita. We don't turn the bed over. And the Rosh adds, V'hu adinami says so too, she'enu chaya bativ asarosh. There's another minog, another practice, which we also don't really practice today, although in some limited fashion, perhaps it is practice, which we'll mention in a second, and that is Ativa Sarosh. And this is based on the pasuk in Yecheskel, that the Avel, his entire head is encompassed, Atifas Yishmaelim. The Shach writes in Yerodea that for a male Avel, the practice is to wear a hat, and that apparently is based upon this particular practice of Ativa Sarosh. But the Rosh points out, just as the Gemara indicates, that the Chacham don't agree with Rabbi Yehuda regarding Kfiyas Hamita, we don't turn the bed over on Tisha B'Av. That particular practice of Avelos is not extended to Tisha B'Av. So too, says the Rosh, Ativa Sarosh, covering the head, swathing the head, is also not practiced. The problem is, though, we began the Shir by referring to a Braisa. The Braisa says, Kol mitzvah sanogos be'evel or be'avel, nogos be'tisha b'Av. Whatever mitzvahs apply to Avelos, apply to Tisha B'Av. There seems to be an equation. So the Rosh asks this question, and the Rosh lays down a very fundamental principle. When do we say there's an equation between Tisha B'Av and Avelos? That, says the Rosh, only relates to mitzvahs lo taseh. When it comes to negative aspects, negative commandments, then the negative commandments that apply on Avelos also apply to Tisha B'Av. However, when it comes to mitzvahs aseh, or proactive, positive kind of nihugim, positive practices that devolve upon an avel, such as kfiyas harosh, kfiyas hamita rather, and ativas harosh, turning over the bed and being swathed around one's head, those had no application. And that's what the Rashi is articulating, is a very fundamental principle. He's telling us there are two types of nihugi avelos. There are two types of practices that an avel carries out. One is bekumvaseh, things that he does of a positive nature, of a proactive nature, that include the two items mentioned just now, namely kviyas hamita and ativas harosh, and obviously there are many other examples. And then there's a second genre, a second type of nihugi avelos, which is sheval taseh, things that a person refrains from doing. A person must be passive, and that includes, of course, many isurim. Those that we mentioned at the very beginning of the shiur. The isur of sicha, a novel cannot anoint himself. The isur of Talmud Torah, he's not permitted to learn Torah. The isur of bathing, of rechitza, v'chulu v'chulu. So what the Rashi is saying is that Tisha B'Av, when the Brisa says that there's an analogy to be drawn between Tisha B'Av and Avelos, that analogy is only vis-a-vis the isurim of Sheval Taseh. The isurim where we are passive. Then we are going to go ahead and compare avelos to Tisha B'Av. And also there are isuri avelos on Tisha B'Av. The negatives, the prohibitions, the interdictions of avelos can be extended to Tisha B'Av. However, the positive aspects of avelos do not apply to Tisha B'Av. And the Rush continues, providing us another example. We know that chas v'shalom, if a person becomes an avel, there's a din of kriya. A person has to tear their clothing. What about on Tisha B'Av? So the Rosh says there is no concept of kriya with reference to Tisha B'Av. One does not tear one's clothing on Tisha B'Av. And the Gemara actually comments already. The Gemara says, Avelos l'chud or kriya l'chud. The Gemara indicates these are two different factors that really do not necessarily, obviously they're related, but they don't necessarily have tendency one with the other. Why is that? Because kriya, by definition, tearing one's clothing demands and is only warranted by what the Gemara calls a shas chimum. Shas chimum means, God forbid, a moment of great loss where a person is obviously in an emotionally very heightened kind of state. A person is in a passionate kind of state where, God forbid, one loses one of the krovim, one of the relatives, and one is obligated to tear kriya for and to mourn for. Then there's a din of kriya. Or, God forbid, is a shmua that a person hears about a karov that passed away. Tisha B'Av is lacking in both. There is no shas chimum. There's no personal kind of loss that an individual experiences. And there's no element of a shmua. And therefore, the idea of kriya also is not applicable to Tisha B'Av. Furthermore, the Rush writes that it's logical to assume that with reference, however, to tefillin, even though an avel does not wear tefillin, the Gemara has a machlokas regarding the parameters of not wearing tefillin for an avel. So even though an avel does not wear tefillin, at least Yom Rishon, the first day of Avelos, but the Rosh says we can assume that at Tisha B'Av we are chayiv in tefillin. And the Rosh comments and says the following, Kevin de ba'avel gufei lo mitzvah lebi Yom Rishon, since an avel himself, the Easter of tefillin is only day number one of Avelos, and the rest of Shiva, certainly an avel will wear tefillin. V'lo chomer Tisha B'Av m'shiva asim Avelos. Tisha B'Av is comparable, says the Rosh, to one of the days of Avelos. However, it does not constitute the Yom Rishon of Shiva. You cannot compare it to the first day of Shiva, and therefore, as far as that aspect of Tisha B'Av is concerned, it would differ from regular Avelos. Regular Avelos, there is no tefillin worn beyom Rishon. The rest of Shiva it is worn. On Tisha B'Av, however, we do wear tefillin. And the Rosh continues and notes as well that another one of the Isurim of Avelos is Isur Malacha. An avel is not permitted to work. The Gemara says an avel has to sit Shiva and he's not permitted to engage in Malacha. Any Malacha that he would do would constitute the Hesach Adas from Avelos, would be a diversion. He would be distracting himself from the Avelos, which he's mechuyev to go ahead and carry out. So the Rosh says that Tisha B'Av mutar b'malacha. Tisha B'Av is different than Avelos. And avel is also b'malacha. The Gemara actually compares it to, based on the pasuk, va'afachti chageichem va'evel, and the Gemara says, ma'chag osu basiyas melacha, af avel osu basiyas melacha, an avel is not permitted to do work. However, in reference to Tisha B'Av, the Rosh points out that on Tisha B'Av we are allowed to do melacha. It's true, the Gemara says in Psachim, that it really depends on Makom Shenagu. that there are places that were noeg not to do malacha on Tisha B'Av. And the Gemara says this, what happens to a number of days, such as Purim, the person who does malacha on Purim, even though Mikra Adin, it's permissible, and Eroim is a Simen Bracha, you won't see a Simen Bracha from that malacha. So too, vis-a-vis Tisha B'Av, you will not see a Simen Bracha. But essentially, there is here a distinction between Tisha B'Av and Avelus. That an Avelus is asim b'malacha, and Tisha B'Av, both in Ekroni, is muta b'malacha b'magam shenagum. The Rosh continues. So too, the Rosh says, the halacha is, with reference to another issue, and this issue also is relevant to an Avel. There's an Isaf She'ela Shalom. An Avel is not permitted to engage in a kind of dialogue that would involve salutations and greetings. However, the Rosh says that on Tisha B'Av one can respond to overtures. One can respond to salutations. Why? Because even in Avelus, the halacha is after 3 days of Shiva, one can be Meshuv Shalom L'chol Adam. Even though that's not our practice L'maisa, however, one is permitted to be Meshuv Shalom L'chol Adam, again, Ikra Adin, in Avelus after 3 days. And therefore, since we're saying the Tisha B'Av is one of those days of Shiva, but we don't exactly know which day it is, and therefore Tisha B'Av, that same halacha, would not be applicable. However, there is an opinion with reference to Tefillin, for example, that is quoted by Rishonim, the Rav Rutenberg, who says that on Tisha B'Av one does not wear Tefillin. And he compares it to the first day of Avelus. And he writes, the Ein Yomar Yosef Mimenu, there's no more bitter day than the day of Tisha B'Av. Yom Kavua B'Chil Adaros. As Chazal tells us, the Gemara in Tainis, and Rashi alludes to it in Pasha Shlach, with reference to the Meraglim, it was a day that was established, that was etched in infamy for all generations, for everlasting period of time, because of what happened with the Meraglim. And anyway, whatever the case is, we don't pass like this around Rutenberg. And on Mincha, the practice is, the Mincha of Tisha B'Av Tefillin is put on. Even though the morning Tefillin is not worn, but on Mincha, already we put on Tefillin. So what I'm simply indicating over here is that we have, yes, a brasa that tells us that Avelus and Avel is compared to Tisha B'Av, but the analogy clearly is not of an absolute nature. There are distinctions that are drawn by the Rishonim between Tisha B'Av and Avelus. We know essentially there are three segments to Chas V'Shalom, to Avelus, and they are the following. Number one, Yud Beis Chodesh, God forbid if a person loses a father or mother, they're obligated to mourn for a period of 12 months. And perhaps this period may be comparable to the three-week period between Shivasa B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. Second is a concept of Avelus of Shloshim, Avelus of a period of 30 days. And perhaps this may be likened to Shavua Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av, the week of Tisha B'Av, in which there are also several halachas that are particularly relevant to Shavua Shechal Bo. And finally we have Shiva, the week of Shiva itself, which may perhaps be likened to Tisha B'Av, but whatever the case is, as I said, there are clearly different differences between Avelus and between Tisha B'Av. And as we gave some examples, Tefillin is one on Tisha B'Av, and Avel B'Yom Rishon does not wear Tefillin, and we mentioned other distinctions as well. I heard from Harav Soloveitchik, Zichrono Livracha, on a number of occasions, that there are really two dinim of Avelus, and these are very significant conceptually in order to understand that which we've been talking about. One is what the Gemara calls Nihugi Avelus. Nihugi Avelus means a certain kind of designated behavior. A person has to behave in a certain kind of way. There are Nihugim. There are different practices that a person has to introduce into their lives when one is an Avel Chas V'Shalom. But then he said there's a second din. And that's what he called, that's how he termed the second din, dinim, that achal on a base avel, that applied to the base avel, to the house of an avel. He referred to an interesting Gemara in Ma'ikot and Daf Chav Zayin, where the Gemara says, avel asur leishev al mita, a avel is not permitted to sleep on a bed, sheino kfuya. We referred to this before, that an avel is kofen mitasa, he turns his bed over. We mentioned that today, we don't apply this halacha. The only application of this din is that we cover the mirrors or we cover pictures in someone's home because that represents, as I said, the snuffing out of the Tzelem Elokim. But the Gemara says over there, on Avel, is not allowed to sit al mita shena kfuya, on a bed that's not turned over. And then the Gemara says, ukshu kofe, when he turns the bed over, lo mitasa bilvadu kofe, now does he turn over his bed, the one that he normally sleeps on, ela kol mita sheish lo b'toch beso kofe, all the beds in the house have to be turned over. And then it tells you, the Gemara in Ma'ikotin, at Chav Zayin, ube'er of Shabbos ben amincha l'mayla, once Shabbos is imminent, from mincha on, zog finas amitos, then we straighten all the beds. The aval became, despite the fact that we straightened the beds, and the yoshev aleh at shetech shach, he's not going to sit on the bed till Shabbos actually enters. What kind of halacha is this? That not only is there a dinah kfiyas hamita that we turn the bed over, but we have to turn all the beds in the house. So that Rav Soloveitchik said is a function of what he called a beis avel. So on erev Shabbos, from mincha on, at a deference to covered Shabbos, it's unseemly, it's improper for the avel to leave his home in such a state that it appears as a beis avel. However, the nehugi avelos that he's chayav to practice still devolve upon him till dusk, till Shabbos really enters, till the onset of Shabbos, and then we cannot sit on the bed at shetech shach. As a matter of fact, it's quoted in the name of Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Livracha, that just as there's a halacha that ein shel hasholom beveis avel, one is not permitted to engage with the avel in a mutual exchange of salutations, so too, Rav Moshe Feinstein indicated that even if a person is menachem avel, someone comes to be menachem the avel, he comes to comfort the mourner, to be mekayim the mitzvah of nichum avelim, and he meets someone else who also came to menachem avelim, those two individuals, the two menachemim who came to menachem the avel, should not greet each other. What kind of halacha is that? So again, Rav Soloveitchik, in light of his explanation, we understand this halacha as well. Because the ease of she'elah shalom, of salutations or greetings in a beis avel, is really a dual halacha. On the one hand, it's an aspect of nihugi avelus, that an avel has to practice certain nihugim, he has to act in a certain kind of way, behave in a certain kind of way. But secondly, there's an ease of she'elah shalom beveis avel. As long as one is in a beis avel, where people are sitting shiva, there's an ease of she'elah shalom. One is not permitted to engage in salutations and greetings, even not between the menachamim and the avel, but between the menachamim themselves. They haven't seen each other in a long period of time, they also cannot engage in these kind of salutations. Similarly, there's another halacha, that an avel is not permitted to learn Torah. There's an Isra of Talmud Torah. And the Gemara says in Ba'ikot and Chav Gimel, Ein omrim shmua ve'agadah beveis avel, that even the menachamim should not speak to each other in Divrei Torah. Why? Just as there is an Isra of she'elah shalom in a beis avel, within the confines, within the environs of this home, where the avelim are sitting, there's an Isra of she'elah shalom, so too there's an Isra of Talmud Torah in a beis avel. And that's the language of the Gemara, in Om Shmua Vagoda beveis avel. At the beginning of the Shia, we refer to Machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, regarding Tisha B'Av. Is there a din of Kfiyas Hamita on Tisha B'Av or not? And we mention the position that the Gemara quotes, Rabbi Yehuda, Mechai b'kfiyas hamita. Rabbi Yehuda says there is a din of kfiyas hamita that one should overturn the bed on Tisha B'Av. But the Gemara says, V'lahod v'lo chachamim. So apparently, what is Rabbi Yehuda's position? Rabbi Yehuda's position, in light of what we are analyzing, can be understood along the following lines. Rabbi Yehuda says there is a din of kfiyas hamita on Tisha B'Av because he holds essentially two premises. Premise number one, that there exists nihugi avelos on Tisha B'Av. The Braisa compared an avel to Tisha B'Av. The Braisa says, call all the items, call amitzis anorgos be'avel, anorgos be'Tisha B'Av. Rabbi Yehuda subscribes to that, accepts that position. But secondly, a second premise of Rabbi Yehuda is that the home on Tisha B'Av is transformed into a base avel. But the Gemara says, lahod ala chachamim. The chacham did not agree with that. Either they rejected both premises, or perhaps they assume that nihugi avelos, there may be certain aspects of avelos that are operative on Tisha B'Av. However, the notion of a beis avel does not apply to Tisha B'Av. So we began by referring to the braisa that seems to equate Tisha B'Av and avelos, but we've noted already there are a number of very fundamental distinctions between avelos and Tisha B'Av. Even regarding the issur of Talmud Torah on Tisha B'Av, we know also has this parallel in Avelus. However, there's a distinction here as well between the nature of the two Isurim, the Isur of Talmud Torah on Tisha B'Av and the Isur of a Talmud Torah to an Avel. An Avel is not permitted to study Torah, and that's derived from a pasuk in Yechezkel, where the Navi says in Yonik Dom, the Avel should be quiet, the Avel should be silent, the Avel should not be speaking. And from there was engendered the Isur of Talmud Torah. However, on Tisha B'Av, the prohibition emanates from a different pasuk, because the Gemara calls the pasuk Pikuy Hashem Mishorim Misamchei Lev. The Gemara says that Talmud Torah is Misameach, Talmud Torah is Simcha, and the halacha is that on Tisha B'Av, this kind of Simcha is not permissible. No, really, the sources for the two dinim are markedly different, one from the other. And Tesis in Ma'ikad and Chaf Aleph has two opinions whether it's permitted to study on Tisha B'Av what the Gemara calls Dvarim Harayim. Dvarim Harayim means things that relate to the Churban HaMikdash, things that relate to tragedy and destruction, Megillas Eicha, Medrash Eicha, etc. What's the basis for these two opinions? Apparently, it exactly relates to the sources for the Isur of Talmud Torah on Tisha B'Av. Because the Isur on Tisha B'Av is not an Isur of Heonek Dom, that one has to be silent, one has to be quiet. That's relevant to an Avel, Chas V'Shalom, to Avelus. But rather, the Isur on Tisha B'Av is founded upon the idea of Simcha. Pikud Hashem Mishor Misam Chilev. Dvarim Haroyim, when we study the tragedies that occurred to Klal Yisrael in the course of the Churban HaMikdash and the like, when we speak about persecution and the like, that is not considered to be in the category of Misam Chilev. We don't have Simcha as a result of that. And therefore, there's one opinion that maintains that Dvarim Haroyim is mutter to study on Tisha B'Av and Bekach Nogim. And that's the way we are knowing to study Dvarim Haroyim on Tisha B'Av. And as we see that there's a distinction, a very fundamental distinction between the Isur of Talmud Torah that applies to an Avel, that's based on the Pasuk of Haneg Dom, Pasuk in Yecheskel, or the Isur of Talmud Torah that applies to Tisha B'Av, that's based on the Pasuk of Pikud Hashem Yishorim Misamchei Lev. In a similar vein, Harav Soloveitchik explained that an Avel is obligated to hear Kriyas HaTorah, but he doesn't receive an aliyah to the Torah because he's enjoined from teaching Torah to others. And even though he can read from the Seder Hayom, however, that's as far as the issue of an Avel is concerned. The Isur of Talmud Torah does not warrant his teaching others, and therefore, the one who receives the aliyah, the Olah HaTorah, has a din of a Bal Koreh, Ki'ilu is teaching Torah to others al Pidin, and that's not permissible for an Avel. The Gemara points out in Ma'ikad again Chafalov, the Gemara says, "Dibarabim tzrichim lo mutter." Let's say people are in need of a Talmud Chacham who paskin shailos, who's a Rav, then he's allowed to paskin the shaila if necessary. However, the Gemara says, "Uvitznai shalei dabo the maturgim on yashir." He should not speak directly, but rather he should speak to a third party, and that party should speak to the maturgimon, and then that person will say over the shir. That's basically using such a modus operandi where it's done indirectly. He's not considered to be a person who's being malameh, who's teaching Torah to Rabbim, since he's not speaking to them directly. There's always a maturgimon, but the maturgimon and the chacham generally are viewed as one entity. Their personalities merge, as it were. However, here Chazal indicate that if one does it very indirectly, then there's a basis for heter. And once again, I'm showing a distinction between Avelus and Tisha B'Av as far as the Isur of Talmud Torah is concerned. And as I said, again, here we see a very fundamental distinction between the two areas. There are other distinctions, but let me just mention in general what the Gemara says in Yevamos. The Gemara points out that the distinction between what the Gemara calls Avelus Chadasha and Avelus Yishana. Avelus Chadasha refers to a fresh situation of Avelus where a person loses a karov, loses a relative that they're obligated to mourn for. That the Gemara calls Avelus Chadasha, a new Avelus. As opposed to what the Gemara calls Avelus Yishana, an old Avelus. We're talking about the old historical Avelus of the Churban HaMikdash, relating to Tisha B'Av, relating to the Meraglim. And the Gemara says at one point that there's a fundamental distinction, shiny, the Gemara says, between Avelus Chadasha and Avelus Rishona. There's an obvious distinction between the historical Avelus of the Churban HaMikdash and what's called Avelus Chadasha, an Avelus which is fresh, where a person, God forbid, loses a Karav Mishpacha. And we will attempt, perhaps, to focus on some of the distinctions between these two types of Avelus. The obvious distinction between them, simply, in very Balabatisha terms, if you will, is that Avelus Chadasha, of course, God forbid, relates to a very fresh wound that was open as a result of a person losing a Karav Mishpacha that they're close to, that they're obviously very much emotionally and biologically intertwined with. Automatically, there wells up within the person tremendous spontaneous emotion over that Avelus, and therefore that creates an enormous amount of grief and passion that is fresh and vibrant and certainly felt in a very perceptible kind of way. Avelus Rishona, historical Avelus, relates to events that occurred hundreds, if not thousands of years ago. There it's much more difficult to create that kind of atmosphere, that kind of passion. And because of that, we'll see there are major distinctions between Avelus Chadasha and Avelus Rishona. Some of them we already mentioned when we pointed out that the Brisa at the end of Maseches Tainus is not drawing a total analogy between Tisha B'Av and Avelus. There clearly are distinctions between them that are very critical. There is a fascinating halacha that relates also to that which we spoke about a few moments ago. We mentioned that there are two dinim of Avelus. There's something called Nihugi Avelus, and there's something called the Beis Avel. We would like to extend that even a little bit further. The Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos, the din that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Let's say a person dies and has no krovim. A person dies without relatives, there's no one to sit Shiva. So what's the din? So one would have thought that if there's no one to sit Shiva, obviously no one sits Shiva. The Gemara says no. And this is called the Shulchan Aruch La'alocha. Then what happens if someone has no krovim? So the Gemara says, B'nei Ha'ir, the people of the city, come and they sit in his house Shiva, and people come to be menachem them. This is a very strange kind of halacha. Why would they do so? So the answer is because there are really two different concepts that we have to be cognizant of. One is a concept called Nihugi Avelus, practices that Avelim do, and the other is called the Shem Avel, someone that has conferred upon them a status of an Avel because, God forbid, they lost their relative. So in this case, the Bnei Ha'ir who are sitting Shiva in his home certainly are not considered to be Avelim. They don't have a Shem Avel. Thank God they didn't lose any relative. However, the Gemara indicates that they're obligated to go ahead and be Noeg Nihugi Avelus. They're obligated to practice, actually, the Nihugim of Avelus, even though the Gavra is not an Avel. The person is not an Avel. He's not considered to be an Avel. He didn't lose a relative. Ubechalzos, Nihugi Avelus, he is Noeg. And therefore, perhaps one can extrapolate from there to the din of Tisha B'Av. And when the Gemara says, Kol Davar, Kol Mitzvah HaNoagot B'Avel, Noagot B'Tisha B'Av, what the Gemara means is the following. Yes, it's true, the individual Jew on Tisha B'Av is not a Gavra HaAvel. He's not an Avel, as Lahavdil Chas V'Shalom, a person who loses a relative, is considered to be an Avel. The Gemara says, the Makar, for an individual becoming an Avel, is a Pasuk Yemiyo, Evel Yachir HaSilach. So that's not relevant, because on Tisha B'Av, the Avelim are Klal Yisrael. The Jewish people as a whole are considered to be Avelim. But still, apparently, there are certain Nihugi Avelus that are relevant to Tisha B'Av. And therefore, perhaps we can understand now a dichotomy regarding another area of Halacha, namely Erisin, becoming engaged. Erisin, betrothal, is not one of the Nihugi Avelus. The Halacha says that someone who is an Avel is not permitted to engage in Erisin. Therefore, only in Avelus Chadasha, God forbid, a person becomes an Avel, where they lose the Karav of Mishpacha, they lose a relative, where you encounter a person who's called a Gavra HaAvel, there's an Issa of Erisin. You're not allowed to become betrothed. You can't become engaged. However, as far as Avelus Rishonim is concerned, the Rishonim point out, they're even allowed to be Misares on Tisha B'Av itself. Even on Tisha B'Av, a person can become betrothed. Why? Rishonim give the time, Shem Yikad Meru Acher. Maybe someone else will come and take the person that you want to become engaged to. So then we permit you to go ahead and become Me'uras, Me'ureses, on Tisha B'Av. Why? The answer is because the Gavra is not called an Avil. When is it an Issa of an Erisin for someone who's an Avil, who has a nomenclature, the Chaloshem of Avil, on the person? However, on Tisha B'Av, that's not the case. And similarly, one could also explain the halacha of tefillin in light of what we're saying. The Gemara says an Avel does not wear tefillin. The Gemara derives from the Pasuk in Yecheskel Pe'ercha Chavosh Alecha that an Avel does not wear tefillin. An Avel Shemisolel Ba'afar Karno cannot put a Pe'er. Tefillin is considered to be a Pe'er, like a diadem of glory around a person's head. That cannot be placed on the head of an Avel. However, on Tisha B'Av, the Gavra is not an Avel. And therefore, there's no problem wearing tefillin. As a matter of fact, the Rambam mentions an interesting practice. In Hilchos Tanios, he writes, "Umiksas chachamim nogim shelo laniach tefillin shavosh." There are chachamim who are not putting on tefillin shavosh on Tisha B'Av. So what does the Rambam mean? That tefillin shayah they do put on, and not tefillin shavosh. If we're talking about on Tisha B'Av that the gavra is an avil, on what basis does the Rambam make a distinction between tefillin shayah, yes, and tefillin shavosh, no? From the standpoint of Avelus, there's no basis for any distinction between tefillin shayad and tefillin shavosh. This is tefillin and that's tefillin. Why should there be a distinction? It can only be grounded, however, on the pasuk in Eicha. When the Navi writes, Hishlich mishamayim eretz tiferes Yisrael. Hashem has cast off tiferes Yisrael, the glory of Israel. And Chazal understand tiferes Yisrael is referring to tefillin shavosh. As a matter of fact, Rishonim point out, that's the bracha we say in Berachas HaShachar, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Oter Yisrael B'Sifara. That refers to Tefillin Shavosh. Okay, now we have somewhat halachically analyzed some of the elements that, in effect, are elements of commonality between Tisha B'Av and Avelos, and elements where there are distinctions to be drawn between Tisha B'Av and Avelos. Avelos, to a large extent, in Hashkafa, represents the philosophy of Judaism regarding man and their emotional world. Man could either invite emotions, or man could, if he so chooses, can squelch them. Emotions can either be assimilated, emotions can be integrated into my hashkafa, or classified as being unworthy of my attention and thereby shunted aside. Human beings are emotional. The Chavis Havavas discriminates between Chavis Eivorim and Chavis Havavas. There are obligations that devolve upon our Eivorim, our limbs. Our limbs are obligated to do certain mitzvahs. Our limbs are obligated to go ahead and carry out certain actions, whether it's eating matzah, putting on tefillin, running to do chesed, v'chulu v'chulu. But then the Chavis Havavas speaks of what he calls Chavis Havavas. Because there are many mitzvahs that are founded upon emotions. For example, the mitzvah of Simcha and Yom Tov. V'yisa'ach sameach. And even though that Simcha, the Gemara says, has objective kind of manifestation, namely, ain't Simcha for a man, ela b'basa v'yayin. For a woman, the Gemara says, ain't Simcha, ela by purchasing Gadim Sivonim. For a young child, the Gemara said, the Simcha is to be mechalik lehem klayus ve'gozim. But certainly, the Maisa mitzvah is not sufficient. Just going through the action of eating meat and drinking wine, or going through the action of obtaining new clothing, or the action of eating klayos ve'gozim, eating nuts and the like, that per se is only the Maisa mitzvah. The Maisa mitzvah has to engender an inner simcha, a simcha pnimis, and that's the key of a mitzvah. The real key of a mitzvah, simchas yom tov, is this inner simcha that one feels. And so too, you have other mitzvahs, undoubtedly, the mitzvah of v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, the obligation to develop a connection, to develop a bonding with your neighbor, with your friend, with your fellow Jew. That's also founded upon an emotional kind of connection that hopefully will develop between one Jew and the next. And therefore, there's no question that many, many mitzvahs are founded upon emotional states of mind. The idea of Avelus rests on the yisod of Bechira Chavshis, freedom from coercion. At times, the person is called upon to control and channel their emotions. Of course, the Stoic approach is to control emotions even in times of great distress and anguish, such as the bereavement of a beloved relative. That's not the position of Judaism. Yahadus says that every event is planned by Hashem. Hakol bidei shamayim. Everything is biyad Hashem, even death. The Gemara says, actually, in Chazal and the Medrash comment, Vayara Elokim es kol asher asa v'nei tov me'ed. Hashem saw everything was good in the beginning of Bereishis. V'nei tov me'ed. The Gemara says, Zah Moves. That refers to death. Man has to surrender to the will of Hashem. And yet, submission to the will of Hashem should not prevent my natural emotions from emerging. One's feelings should not be masked, should not be camouflaged, but rather, they should be vented appropriately and wholesomely. There's a famous Chazal, the Gemara in Sukkah, interprets the Pasuk, the well-known Pasuk, V'hatznei aleches im Elokecha. What does Hashem want from us? Ki imasos mishpat, v'yavas chesed, v'hatznei aleches im Elokecha. Says the Gemara, that refers to hachnasas kala v'avoyas ames. What does the Medrash Chazal mean that somehow included under v'hatznei aleches is the idea of hachnasas kala v'avoyas ames? The answer is that both of these occasions, which are in many respects antithetical one to the other, Achnasas Kala is a great simcha, and that simcha of course demands that we obviously express our emotions, that we are mishtatev in the simcha of the chasim v'kala, which is also a great mitzvah. The Gemara says in Brachas that whoever is mekayim the mitzvah simcha chasim v'kala is zocheh to many, many different things, the Gemara points out, and so too, in the converse situation, where God forbid there's a halvaya sames, that's also a big mitzvah, to be malav of the mes, to escort the dead. So all these are mitzvahs that are included under the general rubric, according to the Rambam, of Yahavta L'Recha Kamocha, means even though the maisa mitzvah, the act itself, is the rabbanon's rabbinic in nature, but the kiyam mitzvah is still the kiyam davaisa of Yahavta L'Recha Kamocha. But even those mitzvahs, the Gemara says, have to be performed with a certain sense of tznius, a certain sense of dignity. Means even though Chazal understood that a person's emotions vent for expression on those two occasions, but even so, the venting has to be within a certain modest kind of framework. One has to act above in tznua. One should not totally lose control of oneself, neither in the situation of achnasas kala, nor the situation of avayas ames. The fact of the matter is, we don't subscribe to the Stoic notion of, in effect, containing totally our emotions. And certainly when Chas V'Shalom, something bad happens, it should not be rationalized, we shouldn't theologize about it, but rather, man has to respond, man has to act, man has to weep, unquestionably. That's a very fundamental aspect of what we're all about. And certainly, Judaism did not introduce Sefer Iyov into the canon of Tanakh for no reason. Pain and death, as we see all the tragedy that came to Iyov, result in avelus and mourning, and should lead to a sense of existential helplessness and dependence upon the Ribbono Shel Olam. But one does not have to abandon, and should not abandon, one's humanity, and one is obligated to tear kriya, and to practice nehugi avelus, and this of course is designed that a person should be able to vent and express their emotions in a healthy, wholesome kind of way. There's a very fascinating controversy between Rashi and Tosfos in the Gemara Maseches Brachos. The Mishnah writes in Maseches Brachos that tells us that an Onan refers to a person, Alev Vav Nun Nun, who is in effect waiting for the Kvura to take place, waiting for the burial of the Karav to take place. And the Mishnah writes that an Onan is part of an mitzvah. An Onan is not obligated to carry out mitzvahs. What is the reason why an Onan is exempt from doing mitzvahs? Rashi comments because, says Rashi, Ha'oisik b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. One who's involved in one mitzvah is patur from another mitzvah. Tosfos, however, cites a pasuk, L'man tizkor asyom tzeischa me'eretz Mitzrayim, kol yimei chayecha. We're supposed to remember this is chiyas tzeias Mitzrayim, all the days of our life. And Tosfos says, Yomim shata osik b'chayim, v'lo yomim shata osik b'meisim. Days that you're involved with the living, and not days that you're involved with the dead. In other words, what Taisa seems to be suggesting, in order to be liable for the performance of mitzvahs, one must be an Adam HaSholem, a complete person. And a mourner, Ba'avelusa, when a mourner is involved in Avelus, he's confused, he's not rational, he has to cry, he has to vent, he has to express his emotions, as we mentioned, and bitterness and grief are noble reactions that should be assimilated at the time of death. But gradually, of course, what does an Avel do? An Avel slowly disengages himself and redeems himself from such emotions. And the halacha, of course, devised, as I mentioned before, several stages. One is Yud Beis Chodesh, a period of 12 months, when one Chas V'Shalom loses a father or a mother. A second is the period of Shloshim. The third is the period of Shiva. And the fourth really is Mesa Muta Lefanav, when a person Chas V'Shalom is confronted with the deceased in front of him and all the obligations that devolve upon him. Each of these stages, of course, engenders specific halachas that one is obligated to carry out. And in light of the preamble that we've spoken about now at some length, again, let's return to the distinction we made earlier between Tisha B'Av and Avelos, or between what the Gemara calls Avelos Chadasha and Avelos Yishana. Avelos Chadasha, we said, results from death. Yishana is due to historical disaster. Avelos Chadasha is a sudden dislocation, and man is rubbing shoulders, so to speak, with the Malach HaMavis. His response is not an intellectual one. The response is emotional. The response is experiential. However, in sharp contradistinction stands the idea of Avelos Yishana, which does not yield that same kind of spontaneous reaction. It's rather a gradual kind of historical recollection of the events of yesteryear. We recall what happened hundreds and even thousands of years ago. It's not only the capacity to remember events, to dredge up the past, but our historical memory bids us to re-experience the past as well. Certainly, that idea of re-experiencing occurs on a number of different occasions, such as the mitzvah that is, in effect, experienced on the night of the Seder, Bechol Dovr Dov Chayav Adam, either using the text that we have in our Haggadah, Liros Es Atzmo, Kilu Yatzim Mitzrayim, or the text of the Rambam, Chayav Adam Laharos Es Atzmo, Kilu Yatzim Mitzrayim. There's no question that the mitzvah is to re-experience the whole entire experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Or for that matter, on Shavuos, when one is involved in the re-experiencing of Maimon HaSinai, the unbelievable drama, theophany, Kabbalah Satela, and all that it engendered, the excitement and the achrayis, the responsibility of Kabbalah Satela, that's again an element of Shechzur, Maimon HaSinai. As a matter of fact, the Paskin point out that those who have a practice of standing when the Torah is read, because they understand Kriyas HaTorah to be a reenactment of Maimon HaSinai, thereby requiring a posture of Amida. And therefore, we see that we have many different events that involve re-experiencing, Shechzur, as it's called in Hebrew, Shechzur Maimon HaSinai, Shechzur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and therefore, clearly, we are, in effect, bound to use our historical memory, but also to try to do everything we can to recreate those experiences. The Mishnah writes in Maseches Megillah, the Mishnah says that if Shivasa V'Tamas falls on Shabbos, we defer the Tainus. We defer the Tainus till the following day, till Sunday. However, we don't push it back. We don't push it back to Thursday. Why not? The Gemara has a very fascinating principle that the Gemara calls Akdume Puranusa Lo Mekadminan. The Gemara says we're talking here about Puranus. We're talking about punishment. So we try to push away punishment as far away from where we are to the extent that we can. And since we're reliving the Puranus, we want to push it off. We don't want to accelerate its arrival, so we don't move it back to Thursday, but rather the Gemara says we defer the Puranus all the way till Sunday. As far as Eretz Yisrael is concerned, our relationship to it is certainly of a very passionate nature. We have observed hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Tisha B'Av, of Tisha B'Avs in the last hundreds and hundreds of years. Although they are seemingly remote and distant experiences, that is not our hashkafa. That's not our perspective. On the contrary, we are capable of closing gaps of centuries. The past for us is a living reality. Our relationship to the Avos, to the Imahos, to Tanoyim, Tamaroyim, to Greg Dolia Rishonim is Lahabdil, strikingly and radically different from the mythical heroes of the Umos Ha'ilam, of the nations of the world. The story of Yosef and Moshe for us does not lie in antiquity. There's no archaeology, but rather history. There's no scientific study of the fossilized past. For us, there is no dead past. The past is integrated into the present, and the present anticipates the future. Our Salvezi Zechayim Lebracha was very fond of this notion of our Hoiva, Osid, somehow all combining into one time continuum. He used to refer to a very fascinating epithet, our Rabbi Yedaya Pnini, Ha'avar, as far as the past is concerned, Ayin, it's no longer. Ve'ahove, and the present, Keheref Ayin, it passes so quickly. Ve'ahosid, and the future, Adayin. Another, the idea being that somehow time is this continuum, but we have to somehow merge past, present, and future all together. It's the infinity of time consciousness, a continuum of Asura that goes from generation to generation. As we spoke about in Tehillim Kuf Mem Hei, Dor de Dor Yishavach Ma'asecha Ugvorasecha Yagidu. Because without this premise, without this understanding, the whole enterprise of Tisha B'Av would be a ludicrous institution. Chazal tell us in the Yushalmi, Kol Dor Shalom Nivne Beis Hamidish B'Yomav Kilchore B'Yomav. A door which was not zeicha to see the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash, ke'il le Beis Hamikdash, God forbid, was chare, was rendered null and void in his days. And one of the beautiful kinos of Tisha B'Av really graphically reflects this idea. When we say, Bilel ze yivkoyun bonai, on this night your children were weeping, Bilel ze chare Beis Hamikdash, and that night, on this night, the Beis Hamikdash was chare, on this night, literally every Tisha B'Av, we once again re-experience the Chumen HaMikdash. We re-experience the Bechiyah L'Doros, or the Meraglim. And without that sensitivity, it would be contrary to the human experience to observe Avelos Hishana. Now, the primary and preeminent difference between Avelos Chadasha and Avelos Hishana is that Chadasha is a spontaneous response to sudden tragedy. Hishana, however, is cultivated and calculated. Chadasha begins with an intensity that is born of feeling bereft and torn from one's moorings and gradually subsides and decreases to the end of Yud Beis Chedesh. Well, we basically begin with the most intense period, Mesa Muta Lefanov, and that leads to Shiva, and Shiva leads to Shloshim, and finally, Yud Beis Chodesh, and each time there's a gradual decrease in the nature of the Yisurim and the enormity of the Yisurim that devolve upon us during these four different periods. And that is with reference to Avelos Chadasha. However, with reference to Avelos Shoshana, historical Churban, we have a build-up. We have a build-up that begins with Shivas Ubatamas, with parallel Nihugim of Yud Beis Chodesh, and climax is on Tisha B'Av, which is either a Yom Rishon situation of Avelos, or Toch Shiva, comparable to the Shiva of an Avel. Chadasha begins at the moment of expiration, at the moment of Yitzias Neshama. What about Avelos Hishana? So the Pasuk writes in Eicha, the Megillah says, Kol Rotfeo Hisigua Bein HaMitzarim. Those who pursue Klal Yisrael, they were able to overtake her between the straits, Bein HaMitzarim. And Chazal, in the Medrash note, called Tzoro Sikifua Bein HaMitzarim. Many, many Tzoros occurred in this 3-week period between Shivas Batamuz and Tisha B'Av. According to Aminug, it's eminently clear. But Medina the Gemara, where Avelos begins on Rosh Chodesh Av, what halachic significance is contained in this expression, Bein HaMitzarim, and what injunctions are precipitated by the Ben HaMetzarim period between Shavuos v'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. So the Yerushalmi writes, and this is based on the pasuk in Zechariah. The Navi in Zechariah describes the different summers, the different fast days, and he describes them Tzom Harvi, Tzom HaChamishi, in terms of the month in which the fast day occurs. And so there the Yerushalmi says that if Tzom Harvi is observed in the night of Tammuz, then Tzom HaChamishi will be observed on Rosh Chodesh Av. Because if the Shavuos of Tammuz would not take place in Shavuos of Tammuz, but would take place on the ninth of Tammuz, then the next Tzom, which of course is Tisha B'Av, would be observed in Rosh Chodesh Av. And thus the Yerushalmi has created a bonding between Tisha B'Av and Shavuos of Tammuz. And that's based on the Pasuk Yirmiyahu, where the Navi says, Makel Shakel Ani Ro'eh, Ufanov Netzafona. Chazal comment, Makel Shakel refers to a makel made of shkedim, of almonds, that it takes 21 days for the almond tree to blossom. So what's the connection? So the Psikta writes that on the Shabbos following Shavuos of Tammuz we begin what's known as Shloshta de Puranusa, the three Shabbosos of Puranus. During these Shabbosos, we suspend the reading of motifs for the Haftarah, which is in sync with the Parsha Shavua. Normally the Haftarah and the Parsha Shavua are somehow connected. But here, in this three-week period, we want to read Minyan Diyoma. A Haftarah can either elaborate on Minyan Diyoma, the motif of the day, or the motif of the Parsha. Sometimes it's a clash. For example, Simchas Torah, where we read Vizos HaBracha, and when Maftir, with Rebbe Shlomo HaMelech. The Gemara Megillah gives preference to Minyan Diyoma, but our meaning of reading the Haftarah from Sivri Yeshua gives preference to Minyan the Sidra. We're talking about the death of Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of Mizos HaBracha, and therefore, in a similar vein, we read about a Haftarah from Yeshua. When we talk about Avelos Diyachid, or what's known as Avelos Chadasha, the Avelos is one of Kiyum Shebelev. The central axis revolves around the inner experience. But the Kiyum Shebelev, again, as I mentioned earlier, always manifests itself in terms of what's called Nehugi Avelos. The Mishnah writes in Sanhedrin, the Mishnah says, Ein Aninos El Belev. Aninos, even though there's objective halachas related to an onen, an onen is not allowed to eat meat or drink wine, but Ein Aninos El Belev. Somehow tragedy strikes and the response is all-encompassing, it envelops my entire personality, is impacted and affected by the Avelos. Masha'enkin, as I said before, the Avelos Yishona is a fermenting process, slowly and gradually intensifying. The halacha cannot possibly demand of us and impose upon us on Shavuos v'Tammuz that somehow we plunge in medias res into Avelos. That would be unnatural. It would be almost impossible. In Avelos Chadasha, where the tragedy is fresh, man is confronted with death and responds instinctively, and the observance of Avelos is total. Avelos Yishona, however, historical Avelos, demands enormous preparation to recall, to relive, to remember. The historical recollection of our thoughts begins on Shavuos v'Tammuz. On Rosh Chodesh Av, the Mishnah writes in Maseches Tainus, Mimatim B'Simcha. The Gemara earlier in Maseches Tainus says that refers to business involvements, refers to construction, binyan, Netiyah Shel Simcha, Maso Matan, but the language of Mimatim is striking. Language of Mishenichnas of Mimatim B'Simcha. We diminish the amount of Simcha. But the Rambam Hilchos Tanis fails to enumerate what are the specific forbidden activities, implying that failure to comply with their directives does not engender a violation of an injunction, but rather it's a lack of a kiyum. One has to reduce the volume of business, mimatim misimcha, in order to cultivate and to develop the experience of Avelos and to create a certain kind of shtimming, a certain kind of ethos. However, with the onset of Shavua Shechal Bal Tisha B'Av, there the language of the Rambam changes. There the Rambam speaks of also the Sapir L'Chabes, implying the failure to observe at this junction, Hugi Avelos carries with the Maisa Avera. At this stage, Avelos Chadosh and Avelos Rishon begin to overlap, begin to somewhat merge. In Avelos Chadosh again, the Avelos confronted by pain, by tremendous tsar, by grief, by despair. Misa, death of a Karov, is a kind of hester upon him. In Yeshana, no matter how imaginative the person is, the pain is not as severe. The grief is not as sharp and not as biting. However, Allah, the experience of the Qurban is primarily emotion that's being aroused by the intellect. It's measured pain. And therefore, any Hesek Hadas will automatically divert one's attention from Avelus. Vis-a-vis Avelus Chadasha, there, one simply cannot concentrate. One is so focused on one's grief, the emotions are so powerful, that there everything begins from an emotional perspective. Masha'en Kein, Avelus Hashana, it's just the opposite. Everything there begins with an intellectual kind of perspective and recollection. And hopefully, as we move closer to Tisha B'Av, we're going to become more emotionally involved in what Tisha B'Av is all about. And that's why in Avelus Hashana, Chazal had to introduce restrictions to prevent Hesek Hadas. Whatever will arouse diversion is prohibited. While the Yisurim related to Avelus Chadasha are founded upon Nivol, the Yisurim of Shavua Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av and Tisha B'Av itself focus primarily on not being Masiach Das. And this will explain many, many different aspects which we're not going to go into, but we simply wanted to begin the shiur and really attempt to focus on the distinction between Avelus Chadasha and Avelus Hashana. And in Yetz Hashem, we will continue in the next shiur and perhaps become a bit more familiar again with the particulars of distinctions between the idea of Tisha B'Av, which is Avelus Hashana, and the idea of Avelus Chadasha, Chas V'Shalom, a regular Avel. And we will then also focus again on two different facets, both on the legal facets, the halachic facets, as well as some other philosophic elements that are present